All right, big show planned this afternoon. Lots of content as well. We're looking forward to this one. Overdrive off and running, TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN. Brian Hazio, Doug Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Noodles back in Ottawa with the beautiful backdrop that we can't really see because it's so bright outside.
It's a blizzard, that's why.
Is it?
It's a whiteout blizzard. That's why.
It looks like sun
crazy.
To me.
Dude, you could tee it up. You could tee it up today in Toronto, man.
Right.
It's awesome outside. I love
it. It's not here. I am in. If I'm echoing, it's because the room is. They put me in a room. It's called Parlor 22. It's basically. It's like a whole floor. It's the whole floor. And, they hold weddings and stuff like that here. I'm in the corner. You're right. It's not creepy. It's actually an unbelievable room. But it is a little bit intimidating when you're in a giant room by yourself sitting in the corner.
Dude, into a hotel and they say, you're going to Parlor 22, I say, no, I'm not. I'm going to room 505. That's it.
Wow. Yeah, Parlor 22 sounds like a place
Cecil
that's open
hotel.
At 3 in the
Cecil
morning
hotel.
Has fluorescent lights.
No, this is it's an unbelievable space. Obviously you saw the view, but my room is my room. I'm not sleeping here. There's no bed here. There's TVs, there's tables. Like I say, you could host a wedding for 150 people in here, but it's me in here. Like it's a little bit intimidating because I'm in this giant space. I feel like, Hayes, you could have a field day. You could set up a casino in this room.
Okay, well, put me down on the list, man. I might have to take my casino on the road at some
this
point.
This would be something else to have the Brian Hayes casino because you need a pass to get in the door. So you would have security, a little pass, maybe a password to get
yes.
in the door.
Always. Knock three times and say something outrageous. Knock
New
three
England
times and
clam
say
chowder.
Chicken parm.
Exactly.
That's how you get into my casino.
Was it Ace Ventura? What was it?
Ace Ventura. Is that the New England clam chowder, or is that the white or the red or whatever
the
password
was? Yeah, the white
or
the red, yeah. That's awesome.
But you're back on the show, but you're in Ottawa, and I guess the scene of the crime, effectively, last night.
Yes.
That is the end of the road for Claude Julien in Montreal.
Crazy stuff, isn't it, Hayes, how it looked like Gallagher scored the goal to win the game. Probably should have been a goal, and who knows what the future and history of Claude Julien in Montreal, if that goes in. They go on a 10-game winning streak or points in 10 games, and maybe things are merry, but they ultimately lose in overtime, and now we're looking at a guy out of a job. Crazy stuff.
Yeah. You know what? I thought about that too, Oh, it's eventually you just know it's like in reading Mark Bergevin's comments this afternoon, like it had obviously crossed his mind. Like he didn't like what he saw, and he referenced 2 8-game winless streaks last year, and he saw some of that creeping into the team this year, and he was like, I'm going to pull the trigger before I head down that path again. Now, listen, I felt bad because I think we've all crossed paths with Claude Julien. He's a fantastic guy. He's a great coach, but, eventually your expiration date comes up, and you're right. If Gallagher scores that last night, if they allow that goal, because it was, and I'm sure we're going to get into it, because there's a lot of differing opinions out there. And it comes back to, Hayes, I would probably rely on you on this, is where do you fall on this? Not where you think it was a goal or not, but this is the argument you've had all along about
right.
instant
this is
replay.
Why,
and
it, this is why, again, I think it's a waste of time, because ultimately there's still going to be confusion. And, half the time you're going to call it a goal, half the time you're not. So they don't call it a goal last night, and people in Montreal freak out. If they called it a goal, people in Ottawa are going to freak out. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. So stop wasting our time with the reviews. It has always been my stance on this, and it will continue to be. I think it gets stronger and stronger as the years go on. But I think you also have to have some perspective on this. If you're Claude Julien and you're relying on a goal with like 3 seconds to go to beat the worst team in the league to save your job wasn't going to be survived anyway. You couldn't salvage that anyway, right?
That's like what I mean.
They just lost back-to-back
that road.
Games against Ottawa. And Bergevin, I guess, is speaking today. and he was, and they flew into Winnipeg, and he said he was waiting for them after a week off, because they had week offs, you know, in between Leaf games.
Practices. Yeah.
And didn't play great on Saturday night against the Leafs and just lost two in a row against Ottawa. He said, I was waiting for a response and I didn't see it, and I just knew it was time to go. And listen, Claude Julien has had a long run, a great run. I think he'll probably get back into the game in some capacity, so he'll be okay. But it speaks to where Montreal currently stands compared to where they were a month ago, where they were being called the greatest team in the league, yeah. And now all of a sudden they're losing to Ottawa on back-to-back games, and their coach is getting fired.
And another situation, yeah. Brian, that no one has really talked about, if I'm Marc Bergevin, I also have to look at the situation in Boston when he left that organization, the bump that was had. Bruce Cassidy went in there. The best players played more. The younger players had more freedom to make plays. Guys were allowed to do different things. Defensemen and forwards. And last time I checked, they were flying ever since Bruce Cassidy took over. So you have to look at that response for the team, not just because you want Claude gone, but just a different voice and different tactics for the players to do. And another thing that needs to be brought up, Marc Bergevin brought in Jake Allen so that Carey Price would be dialed in and rested every time he put his gear on. He hasn't yeah. been that. So you could talk about systems, you could talk about responses, but if Carey Price isn't going to be Carey Price, $10 million man, you're basically screwed no matter who's behind the bench.
Yeah, I mean, he has to be better, but so does the team. I mean, Carey Price can't play bumper on the power play. They haven't scored in seven games on the power play.
Yeah, but Jamie, you saw those three goals last night, and East Coast League goalie doesn't let them in. They were terrible.
Yeah, that Tkachuk goal, the tied it was terrible.
The tying goal was bad. I don't know which other goals were bad.
Brännström? How does Brännström score that goal?
Well, I thought it was a screenshot, but anyways, I'm not going to argue
over
that.
We shouldn't
that.
Be making excuses for a guy making
exactly.
10 and a half.
I watched a show yesterday. You guys are yelling and screaming about an $11 million player that has to earn it. $10.5 million player has to earn it.
Exactly.
That's the bottom line. You're right. I'm not going to disagree with you on that. You have to earn your paycheck. You have to earn what you're capable of. Carey Price hasn't done the job consistently, but you know, also the group in front of him has to be more consistent. Like, I don't think they're as good as they were at the start of the year, but I don't think they're as bad as they are right now. They're somewhere
quite
in the
drop
middle.
Off, Jamie. It's quite a drop-off. Like, so how does that happen?
Well, it happens
I think what people are pointing out, the tape was what they were doing at the start of the year. They were using their speed. They were checking teams into the
right.
ground. And yeah. as we have brought up multiple times on the show over the past month, the game tape is out. The opposition has figured it out, and they stifled them in terms of them just pursuing the puck and them having the puck. And as a result, this is where when you don't have high-end skill, which they don't have, you can't rely on a game-breaker to jump over the boards.
Well, I'll talk about a game-breaker, Brian.
They don't have it.
Their power. Jamie mentioned the power play. I've watched their power play, and the first unit goes out there, and I see Jonathan Drouin stick-handling the puck into the end boards, and they got Shea Weber sitting on the bench, has one of the best shots that's ever played the game. Ever played the game, and he's not on the first unit. You sit him there like Ovechkin, because if he doesn't one-time it into the net, he's going to scare the hell out of somebody, and they're going to open up another lane. How that guy's not in the first power play unit is beyond me. That's ridiculous.
I don't disagree. I think there's a chance there with a new voice, a new thought process, and you do it early enough where you've had a really nice run and a really poor run, see where you're at. But I think you have a different philosophy. And you might get what Sheldon got last year, that bump. You know, you deploy the players a little bit different, have a different philosophy. And I still believe Montreal is a playoff team. I think they're a good team. I don't think there's any weaknesses in their team as far as balance. But they got to go out and play better. Like that's yeah. Like I say, we're talking about it. This is a team that has balance, has speed, has skill, has great goaltending when they can play. But they're not playing well enough.
Yeah. No, so that's Shea Weber.
Claude Julien can't play. You
and
know,
Shea Weber came out with those comments. He said there was like a negative energy. He was not sewering the coach. I know a bit about Shea Weber and his character. He wouldn't do that to sewer Claude Julien and say it's his fault and we all hate being here, because that's the big kerfuffle. As soon as Shea Weber came out and said that, all the rumbling started. He just meant they were playing poorly and there was just nothing going on.
Well, they were. And
yeah,
they have
been two extremes. I mean, they started the first 10 games. They were rock stars, and they were winning a lot of games, and they were getting a lot of love, and they deserved that love. Like, they were playing that well. Now the other extreme is the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they've been like mediocre at best. Like mediocre at best. And
I mean, they had a good game against the Leafs. And actually, it's funny, these Ottawa games, like last night was a coin flip. Like Ottawa played really well. But you're right. If Gallagher
scores,
if Price doesn't make that save, yeah.
If you're playing poorly and you lose back-to-back against Ottawa right now, that is difficult to explain. And it's going to lead to your GM, I think, coming to the decision that he did.
That'll do it right there, Hayes.
Yeah, I think it ultimately happened. And I'm conflicted on how we should feel about Bergevin and his security, because he's been around for a while in Montreal, has not won anything in Montreal, but has had carte blanche to do a lot in terms
of... Don't kid yourself. This is his last bullet.
I think so, too, but I got to be honest. I'm surprised he could pull this out. Like, this would suggest... My initial reaction was, based on history in pro sports, Bergevin is on the hot seat, should be on the hot seat. This has got to be it. And if they don't pull it out and go and do something, and maybe do something significant, like win a round or two, then he may be out of a gig. But we're in a pandemic. No fans in the building. Claude Julien's making $5 million, and he sold the owner on blowing him out. Like, that would suggest the owner is still listening to Bergevin and believing in what Bergevin is selling.
I think they've got a plan in place. Like, last year was house money. They won a round last year getting into the playoffs and doing
But that's
a
with
good
an
job.
Asterisk. I mean, that's because of COVID. If COVID didn't hit, they missed by 10 or 12 points.
You're right. But the point being is that was house money last year. You improve your team this year. Like I say, I think this team is not as great as they were at the start of the year, but I don't think they're as bad as they have been lately. So we'll see where the chips fall. This is a bullet that Bergevin's using, but I still think there's a plan in place, and that team's a really good team. They're just playing poorly.
Well, yeah, I guess what I'm saying is if you're the owner – you're like, if this was your plan in place, we're 18 games in and you're making a major change.
Right.
You're not saying, I got to, you know, maybe this third line's got to mix up. But you're firing the coach with guaranteed money and the owner is willing to accept it.
You're right. But could you argue that the coach would have been fired in the offseason had it not been a pandemic? They had 2 8-game stretches last year. They don't make the playoffs. That's probably what you played out last year. And then this year, you give them an opportunity to come back with a better team, with the added more skill, added more depth, and it still was trending in a way that you don't like where it's going.
What
That's
year was he in? Three? Three of five?
Yeah, he's got one more
Julien?
Left.
He's got
yeah,
one okay. more year, I believe, at
$5 million,
sheets.
I believe.
He's going to be fine. And here's the other thing I thought about, and this
I
is
guess
the,
so.
The this is the human part of this. He had a heart attack in the bubble. Like, you guys remember? Like, this guy had a health scare.
Yep,
like,
big time.
You know, you got to be looking at the whole picture here, too. And, yes, his team wasn't producing. All I could think about is I hope from a health standpoint he's fine. Sounds like it's great, but, like, that's the first thing I could think about is the amount of stress in that market. As we know, Toronto's a high-stress market. Actually, all Canadian markets are high-stress. It's just they're all. It's just the volume's a little louder. Right, in certain markets.
You know, Montreal, Jamie, when a big-time decision comes, a business decision, health and what you did or what happened to you a year and a half ago or a year last year, he felt he was going to do it. He wasn't taking anything into consideration.
Oh, no.
Obviously, people remember Claude and what happened to him, but it was like, this guy's going and he's going tomorrow morning, and that's just what a general manager has to do if that's in his mind.
Yeah,
he made
the call.
It's a business decision.
He made the call.
You have to do it.
Yep. Yeah. And listen, you have you know, data in front of you, if you're Bergevin, where you said, this has worked and this is how we can play. Now, the interesting thing about that is you're referencing data where Claude Julien was the coach for that. So it worked the first 10 games when he was your coach. Now it hasn't the last 10, and you're hoping that Dominique Ducharme can come in here and spark them. I think you bring up an interesting point with Cassidy in Boston, and I guess to an extent Sheldon Keefe here. I mean, it is similar. Old school guys, you know, assistant coaches being elevated. Keefe was an assistant coach, but was within the
system.
Organization anyway, and familiar with a lot of the players. But it's a stab in the dark for Bergevin. You know, like it speaks to what he expects. He believes in his team. He better. He's been there for a long time. He's built it. It's all him. Everything on this team is him. He can't reference a previous GM in terms of what he has or what he's stuck with, quote unquote. So he believes in them. I think he sees this division for what it is, which is gettable, right? That's probably another angle here. It is gettable.
I thought about that, too. You know, you're not you know what your opponents are. You're playing against them every night, so you can have a measuring stick. That I thought about that too. That had to factor in, you know, the timing of this too, because you pull the trigger at game 18 instead of game 28 or game 37. You know what I mean?
Which is the right move.
You could look at it like a simpler picture,
right?
Which is, there's seven teams in Canada that there's nothing really that's earth-shattering. Toronto, Edmonton are good. Winnipeg's good. But if we can't get in the playoffs this year and we have high expectations for our team, what the hell does that say about us?
Right.
You know what I mean?
If you can't about get his own standing.
Yeah.
You know, like how do you explain it to Jeff Molson? We couldn't get in this year with what's going on. Look at Vancouver again last night.
Oh, my God, dude.
Like, they're going to fade away.
Check on Al's brother.
They're up three nothing.
And then they gave up a stinker right at the end of the first period. And
well, that stinker will get you every time.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, believe me, I've been that guy where
you're feeling good. Let in a goal with 25 seconds left in the first, where it was just a garbage goal, and the players slashed their stick across your head.
Yes, yes. And the worst part is, You use this phrase on our show all the time, the horse eye. You want to know the feeling walking into a dressing room after just giving up a muffin 18 seconds earlier, and you walk in, it's almost like you're radioactive sitting in the room. Like, nobody wants to look at you, nobody wants to talk to you, and they're thinking to themselves, pull your head out of your ass, because we're going to get our asses handed to us if you don't smarten up. Now, the same could have been said. Mike Smith, the first goal, I barely sat down to watch the game. He gave up a goal from the corner to Bo Horvat. And then, which I love about Mike Smith, I don't know if you saw his media afterwards, he goes, I would have played the shot the same way. He goes, that just found a hole. I was like, nothing to see here.
Yeah,
because
leave me alone.
This guy was like, you know what? After the first period, apparently he went in and said, I need to be better. You guys need to be better. Let's get it going here. And obviously 97 and 29 got going, and they pulled one out.
No, that's a big win for Edmonton, and that might be, you know, lights out for Vancouver. It may have been there anyway, but you're up 3-0 at home. Got to get it. Got to start feeling good. Not only do you lose 4-3, you lose 4-3 in reg. So, you know, they are who they are right now. Ottawa is who they are. We'll see about Calgary tonight. They're back in town taking on Toronto. And speaking of goaltending, Freddie Anderson will not play. I'm getting concerned. Like, we are, you know, variants of concern is a big topic in this province right now. Goaltenders of concern is a topic on this show, because I've seen this before. And, like, Keith in particular, the Leafs have been very coy with goaltending. Like, on Monday, that wasn't just a last-minute call, clearly. They knew he wasn't playing. And they gave it the old, turns out Hutch is going tonight, email at 6:30 or whatever it was.
As he skates on for a warm-up.
Exactly. The guy took a three-hour pregame nap. He knew he was playing.
Yeah.
And I don't trust it. Like, I don't believe it, this whole, last time I checked, he's moving in the right direction. Well, I hope that's true, and we'll find out Saturday night, but I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't.
Well, you know what sent a tiny little red flag up for me is that in the back-to-back they said, we're not playing Freddie. Sheldon could have just said, we left him home because, or he's not even dressing because he's, you know, we're giving him the night off. But he said he's nicked up. Do you remember he said something like, yeah, you know, Freddie's nicked up a little bit. And I thought, you didn't need to say that. Not at all. You said our backup's going to start and we're going to not even dress Freddie for the chance that he could get thrown in. He's like, yeah, he's nicked up. Right away, I made a little mental note of that, going, well, that's not good if he's nicked up. Every player battles bruises and bumps and all that throughout the season, soreness. But that little message, I was like, I think he's got something going.
And then he made
that big save.
I would jump on top of that in terms of just putting, you know, words and phrases under the microscope. Progressing well, there's no progression if you're just nicked up a little bit. You know, you're just, I'm feeling 90%. I'm sore. I'll be fine, you know, in 2 days. Progression would suggest, like, physio, like, we're working on something. Something's going on here. And as of now, he can't play. He's got to progress to play. And we always bring up the question, the hypothetical. If you were playing a playoff game tonight, would he play? That hasn't been posed to Keith, so I don't know what the answer would be. But if you're nicked up, you're playing. Game right. seven tonight, nicked up, you're playing. If you have something that quite literally takes you out of the rotation, then you can't play regardless of the circumstances, and there is something different there. And, yeah, we're parsing words and we're trying to break right. down the analysis courtesy of Keefe, and he's only going to give you so much. But
words.
We'll see. You know, we'll see. Until we see him in the lineup, and Jack Campbell the same. You know, yeah. Campbell and Anderson are out, and if you're going with Hutch, you're riding Starsky and Hutch here tonight and in this Saturday. Like, they're in wow. Edmonton for, what, three coming up?
Three, but you got to give them some goal support, see how it unfolds.
That helps.
You know what I mean?
That would help.
That's a different. Like, I you guys talked about it yesterday, so I'm not going to replay the game, but, you know, Riddick made some big saves. That
he
game would look different.
Big save, Dave.
Yeah, that game would have looked different had they scored on a couple of their opportunities early on. They would have got their legs going and their confidence and feeling it. Big save, Dave, did deliver some big saves. Let's see if he backs it up, because apparently Markstrom's a game time too. Is that not correct?
I don't
correct?
Get the impression like he's going to play. Yeah, I thought I saw that. Like, there, it sounds like it's going to be Riddick, but this is something the league's got to clean up. Like, we've been talking about this. That if we want to get into the world of fantasy and gambling and all that lucrative money that's there, you can't leave people hanging at 4:20 when the puck drops in 3 hours. Like,
right.
make your call. Is the guy playing or not? It's a pretty important position. You know, I think people need to know.
So you think from the league it'll be a hard rule that the
yes.
players have to be – like, just Thomas Chabot was a game-time decision last night to play – now, you could speak to it. Hayes, you could speak to it. Like, you get out there, it's how you feel. Like, maybe something, you got a bad back, something loosens up, and you're like, I can go, or vice versa. I've seen guys
I always
that are
found
like,
that weird, Jamie. It's like, if somebody says to me in the morning, like, how could anything go on during the day, like, healing-wise? You know, driving to the rink and you're going to take warm-up, because you're always going to say to the coach, yeah, I'm good to go. It's like, to me, it's cut and dry. Like,
I think illness
I've never
is
been
where
in a
you could draw that line.
Where it's like the coach is like, take him for a spin and warm up and give me the thumbs up or something. Although I have seen guys do it where they
so
wheel around. And I've seen it with the chest infection with Verbads. He came off and he was like, no, not tonight. I go, what?
Yeah.
He goes, a little chest cold settled in like the I was like
started his car
in.
Started his car out and went out and got a chest cold.
Right. That's what he did. It was like he had his jeans on underneath his equipment and walked
settled
out
in.
To his car.
Settled in during breakouts. We were doing breakouts about halfway through warm up and it settled in.
I'll admit though, it happened to me once. I had back spasms in the morning and I was supposed to play. Al McInnes had this like ART active release guy guru. The guy showed up. He put me in a pretzel. I wasn't even supposed to bend that way. It was like I could dance out of the room. It was unbelievable. I ended up playing that night and it wasn't a problem. But I could not barely even walk into the room. And I don't know what this guy did, but he snapped me back into place. So there has been
there's
you know,
some voodoo medicine out
that
there.
That was
I guess
the voodoo
help,
for sure.
Yeah, you don't see it that often with goaltenders too, just by the nature of the position. You know what I mean? Like you would know that obviously better than anyone else. Generally speaking, you know if you can play or not. But yeah, I do think that ruling's going to come down at some point. Say you got to make a call, like at least an hour or 2 hours before puck drop or something. You can't be pulling the pin on a bet, you know, 5 minutes before the game if you want to be involved in that that world.
That space,
you know, it's your call. But if you want to. You got to give people a fair shake in terms of what they're dealing with. PJ Stock will join us from Montreal. Get PJ's take on this move and get his take on the Canadian division, the Leafs and where they stand. The Leafs are in action tonight. The Raptors are back in action tonight. They dropped one against Philly last night. Back in Miami tonight. You can hear that on TSN Radio. We'll tee that up later in the afternoon. We'll spin the Wheel of Misfortune at 5:30, doing a little bit of a different approach at 5:30 today than we've done in quite some time. You're going to want to hear this. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, race coming up just after 5. We will spin the Wheel of Misfortune in about an hour. Caught up with Chris Hogan earlier today, too. A longtime NFLer, two-time Super Bowl champ, and he's going to test out playing some lacrosse, the Premier Lacrosse League. He's going into the draft. He doesn't know where he's going to play, but he's playing. He's committed to it. So that was really cool. We'll play that a little bit later this afternoon, and PJ Stock will join us here in a moment. Another infraction with our golf gambling picks, Noodles, where is just getting outrageous week in,
Dude, you know this was nothing. This is completely legal. First of all, it's your heater week where you get to come at me with the three most egregious golfers in the universe, guys that are so dialed in, it doesn't matter what I take. Anyway, here's what happened. You threw Bryson at me, DJ, and who was the third?
Johnny Rahm, my boy.
Johnny Rahm at me. So I'm like, I got a buddy who was on the PGA Tour down in Florida, shot him a note and said, what do you think of the course? What do you think of the setup and what guys do you like? And he sent me a little note not long ago, Hovland, Finau, Koepka. So those are my guys.
Look at you. So he's taking half the field. He had three other guys earlier.
But you know what I love, Hayes? I asked a tour player, give me three guys, and guess what he didn't name?
None of my guys.
None of your guys.
Right. Well, imagine not taking Dustin Johnson. If you have three picks, you have to take DJ right now.
Although you scared the hell out of me because I said, what a dumb pick with Bryson DeChambeau. This guy's going to be spraying it all over the golf course.
No, he loves that course. Owns it.
And then he won the university
NCAA.
NCAA's there. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no. Nicky Faldo. That is exactly what you're going to hear is Nick Faldo all weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
Claude Julien is out. Kirk Muller's out as well. So you got Dominic Ducharme, who's coming in as the interim head coach. The Habs have been struggling. They just lost two in a row against Ottawa. They lost to Toronto on Saturday night. Now they're in Winnipeg, so it's not going to get any easier. And this is one more bullet for Mark Bergevin, man. He's had a lot of them. And to get the full breakdown in terms of what's going on in Montreal and how he feels about this, no one is more connected to the team. He joins us now, longtime NHLer, RDS analyst here is PJ Stock. What's up, PJ?
Oh, living the dream. Living the COVID dream in Quebec. 8
yes.
p.m. curfew. Watching
it's,
hockey.
It's Twitter. Still a curfew. It's still a curfew in Quebec.
Yeah, it is, which is great. We get to get inside and watch more hockey.
And wow. I didn't
isn't
know that.
Does that sound positive?
What happens if you're like you're walking your dog or something and he's having a crunch on the side of the road? Like, you get arrested or what?
You're only allowed to walk within like a kilometer of your place. That's just it. And we have, like, I have a note to go do, when I go do RDS, I have a letter from my company saying I'm allowed to be out after a certain time.
Have you been pulled over?
I've been pulled over.
No way.
Yep. Downtown Montreal pulled over, actually right when it kind of started. And they come up and put the lights in my face, and actually, it's Quebec police. They were awesome. They knew who I was. They follow the Habs. So I kind of got off. They asked a couple questions about the Canadians, and we were good to go.
Wow, man. Yeah,
that's weird, man.
Yeah, I knew about the curfew. I just, for whatever reason, I guess I thought it'd come to an end, but apparently it's not. Yeah. It's going to continue here. I guess you can't really get a buzz on what the city's feeling about right now, but when in doubt, I'll jump on Twitter, which can be a really stupid practice. But last night during the game and after the game, I noticed almost exclusively Habs fans and Habs media just carving Claude Julien. Like, had enough of him, wanted to move on. Was that the general sense? And if so, is it a sense of relief that Bergevin decided to make this move?
I love Twitter. Let me just put that out there. Isn't Twitter fun? I thought Twitter was just invented, like, to make fun of TV people, like when we were on. You know, they didn't like our hair, our comments, or anything. And then it's fun when I sit around and I got involved last night. Actually, last night we'll talk about the goal in a couple of minutes. But I think the Canadian situation is, I think you said it really well. It's, you know, it's Bergevin his last bullet was getting rid of Julien. I don't know what else you can turn to now. I think in Canada, no one ever wants to say that, you know, Carey could be better or Carey's not as good as Carey was, you know. They're not getting great goaltending. They're not scoring. You know, you don't want to question their leadership, but it's all of that combined, and you can't change it all, so the GM's not going to fire himself. I think people are wanting to see this team do better after all the changes that they made this summer and the great start. So you go after the coach. You know, I'm not one of those people that love people that do that for Twitter. But you just had a thought, and Shea Weber came out last week and actually said, I forget the actual terms that he used, but more or less that there wasn't a great atmosphere in the locker room around the team or on the bench. So when your leader comes out and says that, that's kind of a little, some stuff should be kept in the room, or maybe that's his plea to get it out there. And, well, lo and behold, the game ends the way it does last night, and we get the news today.
PJ, how does it go? Like, I've been watching these guys at the beginning of the year and pumping their tires, and I was like, these guys are so good. They're playing, they're making their opposition play a perfect game. Guys were scoring goals. Carey, the goaltenders were on fire. How did it go from so good, these guys are so dialed in, to a coach being fired in a matter of, I mean, what's the time frame? Is it 2 weeks?
Yeah. A couple weeks. And that's what I love about Twitter, because I put out my tweet, you know, GM Bergevin, you know, GM of the year, brilliant, mastermind, everything's working, Toffoli scoring, Anderson scoring, everything's working great, as you're saying. And then, well, reality kind of kicked in. You know, no one really had a training camp this year, so the Canadians were able to, you know, they had some good players playing well at the right times, and I don't know if the opposition wasn't up to speed, because when they played Vancouver, it was great. Every puck Toffoli touched went in the net. Everything Anderson did worked. You know, the saves were happening by Allen and Price, and the defense were all scoring at crazy numbers. So were they that good, or was the opposition playing that bad? Couple weeks in, now everyone kind of had their training camp, and this is the part where it's a little bit, all these other teams are catching up, and Montreal is not adapting, and that's part of the problem. And the reality is, I didn't want to say it, but Carey, he made some unbelievable saves last night, unbelievable. But again, his numbers, save percentage is under .900. The defense lacks mobility. They're bigger and stronger, but they lack a little bit of mobility. And then you go up front, and you still don't have that game breaker. And you're running down the pipe down the middle, and you got two really young guys that are learning, but they're struggling with the faceoff dot. And then you got Dano, your guy that you kind of wait on the last couple of years with no goals. So everything, the whole house of cards just collapsed at the same time.
PJ, I was going to say, if the goal is allowed last night, did you feel like the writing was on the wall for Claude Julien? Maybe, you know, last year they had the, and Bergie pointed to it today, where they had the 2-8 game losing streaks.
Right.
You know, he saw some of that creeping back in. Like, did you just feel it was a matter of time for Claude? Because, you know, we were talking earlier, you know, they win, or that goal is allowed last night, and maybe Julien lives for another day and they go on another run or potentially or something. Or did you just feel it was a matter of time before Claude was going to exit?
I'm surprised, actually, that I think the start of the year saved, actually, Bergevin. I really do. You go back and since his time here with Montreal, they haven't drafted well. Their minor league team hasn't made the playoffs, I believe, 6 out of 7 years. The NHL club had pretty much missed three of the last four years, I believe. And it was, they finished 24th in the league last year. Yes, they get into the playoffs and they have a 2-3 week mirage of the way things play. Kokaniemi, remember, he was in the minors last year. He had an unbelievable playoff. Suzuki looked unbelievable. Everyone forgot about the year that where they were 24th. Everyone's like, everything's going to be great. And then the way the season started off, everyone, again, forgot about everything else that's happened in the last 8 years or 9 years. You know, the reality is they haven't drafted well. They don't have depth coming up from the organization. They don't have a winning culture. Their core is getting older and it has not been playing as well as it did a few years ago. And reality is, it is what it is. You're playing against teams that are better and getting better every day around you. Canadians had that little flash. It's Claude or it's Bergevin. And Bergevin is the guy that makes the decisions. I think it's on Molson the next decision. But Claude's out. Unfortunately, Kirk's out too. And you hate seeing anyone lose a job. But this team has to win, especially in Canada in a market like this. And you guys know what it's like in Toronto. We just want, you know, a team to... To lose is one thing. To lose the way that they do at times is the frustrating thing. And someone had to pay the price.
We're chatting with PJ Stock. Well, Carey Price is a guy we talk about a lot on this show, clearly. I mean, his resume speaks for itself. He is who he is.
Hold on.
Yep.
I got to jump. What is his resume?
Well, I mean, he won a heart as a goalie.
He's the best goalie on the planet.
How do we say that, though? That's the one thing that I get. Like, the last 3 years, he's averaging about a .900 save percentage. Yes, he had some great seasons. But
I'm wrong, because Vasilevsky and Hellebuck are right there, too. There's some great goals.
Well,
but if you have him in the top three, that's, I mean...
Yeah, for sure.
That's high praise, right?
That's really high praise.
But quoting save percentage, are you doing high danger saves, or...
Well, I know it could be broken. I mean, listen, we can come up with. I know there's a stat kind of for everything, but and he's been amazing for the Montreal Canadiens for. But you know, for me, I don't know how we compare what he's done. Is it overshadowed because of what he did with Team Canada? You know, I think Odor could have been a net for them, and they probably would have had the same record. Is it what has he done with the Canadiens in the playoffs? You know, what is it, 8 series I think he's won in a decade? And I don't, and 3 of them are in 1 year. I just think that he is, it's not fair that we, it's not on him that I'm saying it. I'm saying we don't give enough other goalies credit. That is my thing. It's like there's so many other great goalies in this league that have some great runs, and we just always in Canada we just give it to Carey that he's just the best goalie in the league, and he has, you know, he's sexy. It's got everything that you look at him is great, but again, last night he made some brilliant saves, but they still give up what, 4, 3, 4.
Well, and the contract comes up with us a lot. I mean that's. You know, 10.5 for I think 5 years after this, and it'll be 34 in the summer. I mean, that has to be concerning. It can't not be concerning for Bergevin, for whoever's going to be the GM in the future, if he is on a slide, which I think is reasonable considering his age. Doesn't mean he can't still bring a lot to the table or won't, but you can't expect. I'm not holding my breath that he returns to Hart Trophy caliber Carey Price, and at 10.5, you kind of need that. And that sets you, that puts you in a tough spot, you know, if you're building this team.
You also have to go get a backup that has to play as many games as they do because of, again, Carey's needs a little bit more rest time. The last couple years, he's been around just over 900 as a goalie. But that's the bottom tier of the league. You know, that's right there with, I don't know why we just every year just give it to Carey as he's the best. And you know what? Unfortunately, everything's a comparable, and that's what I do and what we all do in this business, and we compare. And, like, unfortunately, it goes with this price tag, as you guys just brought it up. The team is based and built a certain way, and it's kind of handcuffed because you need $14 million on your goaltending. So there's limited money somewhere else. So you have to be the game changer. Matthews and Marner, the money's there. They have to be the game changer. In Pittsburgh, you know where the money is. They have to be the game changer. And it should come with the territory. And it doesn't come enough with the territory in Montreal. And that's just kind of, it's a little bit of a rant. And it's not really on Carey. It's just a comparable. I think there's some other great goalies in the league that we don't give enough love to.
Yep. No.
That's a good point.
Probably based on the markets they're in. Like Vasilevsky's an example of that. But, you know, there's a lot to dig into here with chatting with PJ Stalk. And you referenced the goal last night that they got called back. And there's a lot of different viewpoints to it. You know, I think a goaltender would look at it one way. A forward might look at it one way. I do think it's important to point out the source here. No one is in the crease more than Brendan Gallagher. Nobody. He's got a reputation of being a guy that is constantly hitting goaltenders. He has to own it. You know, he can yell and scream postgame all he wants. He has that reputation, and I think that might have factored into what happened last night. But where do you stand on that, PJ?
Well, this is why I left Twitter. I sat back last night, kicked my feet up. Like, the issue, and I love, you know, it's one of those nights that it was just too easy. But I don't think it's a goal. And my reasoning is, I understand, and I don't want to argue with a goalie right now who's going to, but you know, you guys know how goalies are, so this should
He's calling you after the show about Carey Price anyway.
No, so I know he is. I already saw that before, yeah. I know. He's actually texting me in the middle of it. PJ, stop. Noodles, don't worry, I'll text you after.
It's all good. So, my
thing is last night, and this goes almost to the offside rule, everyone's saying he had time to reset, okay? What is the right time to reset? That's my thing. Like, if you really break it down to minute seconds, and I've watched the video, it's in front of me right now, like, inch by inch, Gallagher could have skated behind Murray if he wanted to. Instead, he's wrestling for position, and that's what he does, and you love him for it. But he also bumps into goalies. And he bumped into Murray. Murray lost his position. Murray was at the top of the crease. By the time Murray gets hit, he's faces his back to the puck now. He spins around, goes to the post, goes to stand himself up, and now he has to find a slap shot coming at him.
I totally disagree, PJ. I mean, I'm not. You've already got Noodles pissed off about Carey Price.
I'm not.
Listen. Just listen to me. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So he. Yes, reset. Okay, so yeah. Now he resets. How much time does he need to reset? It's like the offside rule. Like, until you say, or we have a precedent about how much time it is, he still got knocked off his positioning. He stood back up. He was on one knee. He's on the goal line. Shot come in, gets up. Gallagher got up quicker. Got it. I understand all that. But I understand the league's decision that it's not a goal because it was Gallagher that knocked the goalie out of position. The goal, Noodles, you were doing the game last night.
Yeah.
You said it's the goalie, I actually phrased you, the goalie has to have the opportunity to make the save. So yeah. Where he was standing originally was at the top of the crease. When he's trying to get up, yes, it's not as fast as it could have been. He is on the goal line.
He also said that his first reaction was, I think this is going to be a goal.
Well, listen, let me jump in here. I'll be there.
Boy, Noodles.
I thought it was a goal based on a couple things. Now, I think it was one of the toughest calls that I've seen recently. So I will say this. Ty should go to the goaltender, which would mean no goal on this sense. But hold on. The reason being is you as a goaltender in the blue paint have the right to your space to make that save.
You are.
Now, here's the thing. Matt Murray does a 360 in the net. Did he really need to do that after the play? Not sure about that. The recovery was a little slow, yes. I thought he gave up on the play because he thought the period was over because it was literally in the last three, four seconds. Mm-hmm. It went from 6 seconds to 2.8. That being said, I thought there was enough time for the recovery, but you're right. This is the thing that I would go to the bigger scope, and we can all weigh in here. This is game, 20? I'm concerned that this is going to be game 7 of Stanley Cup final, and it's going to be subjective to opinion. That worries me. Because
my thing about this goal is, Brendan Gallagher, he got pushed into the goaltender. His foot barely touched the goalie. And here, you don't have to be a former NHL player or goaltender, PJ, to figure this one out. Somebody went Jimmy Superfly Snuka on Brendan Gallagher and KO'd him in front of the net. And he had enough time to stand up and tip the puck in. And the goaltender did it. How is that possible?
First of all, Brendan doesn't have as far as to go to get up as compared to Murray. Like, that's just...
He's got the same distance as you would have.
Jimmy Superfly Snuka, he Hulk Hogan himself up. Like, he got up quicker. Now, there were so many hypotheticals that we just said he shouldn't have spun around. He should have done this.
Right. Yeah,
those are all hypotheticals. And unfortunately, it's like that offside rule. You go offside. You can play the entire period in your zone. Right? And until there's finally a whistle, they can call it back. We don't have precedence. We're saying what it could have, it should have happened. And listen, O-Dog, you were a dirty player. That's why you think it's okay. You go to the front of the net and you'd spear goalies, and that was mean in your era. It's not the same thing today. I think it's part of it is Brendan Gallagher. I really do. Part of it is Brendan. And I also think it's was a goal that was easy because it was a tie, but at the same time, we don't have any precedent to say how much time did he have or how much time did he not have. So it's
it's gonna be a conversation that continues as long as they're reviewing and you know that there's an opinion that comes with it and it's subjective. This is what we're gonna deal with. We gotta fly, buddy. Good luck out there with the curfews and all that, and we'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
Text you, Noodles. Bye.
Thanks, buddy.
PJ Stock from RDS who just came in and basically took a grenade and threw it at Noodles. I think I avoided a couple of shots in there, but that's okay. I'll get him next time. But listen, he's passionate. He's from Montreal. He loves the Habs. He covers the Habs.
Yeah, and he's about his point about Carey Price. The bottom line is, forget the salary. He's just got to play better.
He's got to be better.
That's
gotta
the
be
truth.
Better.
And I mean, it doesn't.
And that's
matter.
All I think he was trying to point out. I think
I
when
know,
Jamie,
I
people keep saying this guy's the. They keep going back to this, like it's trained in people's minds where it's like, best goalie in the world. Well, right now he's not playing like it. So that's what people are saying.
And you know what? He makes a great point, too, that others deserve. Like Vasilevsky, Hellebuck, Markstrom. You know, Markstrom obviously had hit the ditch before he got injured there. But there's some great goalies in the league. And I think Carter Hart's going to be fine, but he's really having a tough go. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah, the Canadian goalies. I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury's been a stud, but we'll get to that in the next hour. Ray will join us. The Raptors back in action tonight. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. looking good down in Dunedin. We'll touch on that. Big Ben apparently is going to be back in Pittsburgh Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Rays coming up in about 10. We'll spin the Wheel of Misfortune at 5:30. The Raptors back in action tonight in Miami. And, yeah, Roethlisberger, I have not seen an owner of a team make an announcement that a player's coming back that I can recall. I mean, maybe it's happened before,
weird.
But like Art Rooney II came out with the statement that he met with Roethlisberger and they're committed to bringing him back. Not Mike Tomlin, you know, not the GM, not the president of football operations, the owner.
That means a player went over everyone's head and went right to the owner, their boys.
I agree.
What it feels like.
Yeah. Is that for the better of the organization? Like, he can't play anymore, can he? Like, would you trust him? Would you trust
Dude,
him to play
16
for you next
based,
year?
He's gone.
Well, he's got a guaranteed contract, guaranteed money. You know, I guess nothing's guaranteed in the NFL, but the money is there, and it would be a dead cap hit if they got rid of him. And I would have to believe there's more to this. Like, the owner probably said, we'll bring you back, but we are rearranging your contract. Like, because you can do that in the NFL. I would be shocked if that doesn't come out in the next couple of weeks. Like, he's shaving money. He's moving money around so that the cap isn't as onerous. And when he walks after this year, it's not going to hit them as badly down the road. I would expect that as the second domino here. But, yeah, I think you're right. Ben probably went right to the owner. Kind of like Brady with Kraft, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was Belichick. He can be involved once we commit to me returning and me getting what I want. And Roethlisberger probably deserves that standing in a way. He's been there for a long time. One of the great players in franchise history. So we'll get into that in the next hour. The RBC Canadian Open could be in trouble here with what's going on and the announcement today with the City of Toronto and them shutting down live events all the way through July 1. So we'll tell you more about that in the next hour as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.